All right, a very important lesson this morning. I think all of them are, but we're looking at choosing grace over religion. Now, as much as I know you pay attention, let me see if you can rise to this challenge of getting your mind around this concept, because this is one of the great mental blocks of the world, and that is religion is religion. You think you're right. Everybody else thinks they're right, and there's really no difference. There is a big difference, and we want to show that in the lesson today. Now, by review, last week I spoke on the problem of sin. The essence of sin is self choosing to honor a God other than the true and living God. And that is either self or something connected with self. This personally chosen idol becomes ultimate in your life and becomes the whole point of your identity. So your sense of self-worth is equal to your devotion to this God, little g God. And one example I gave was the person who centered his life and identity on a noble cause, whatever he thinks the noble cause is. And I said that this person divides the world into the good and the people who are supporting the noble cause and the evil who are the enemies of the noble cause. And they honor their personal deity by demonizing the opponents. Yet, because of that, these opponents control them, because without them, they have no noble cause. So it is their job, as we see with this race relationship and socialist concepts and rights of various groups, they have to keep finding reasons to stir up people against others. So unless they can point the finger and say these people are bad, they really have no noble cause. And this is a continual antagonizing. Now, in a way, all who choose a lesser God fit this profile because they consider their God, whatever it is, to be a noble cause in some respect. So religion all over the world is that noble cause, you see. This would be true whether the deity is personal power or personal pleasure, their family, or their religion. Excuse me. So let's look at this concept of defining religion. And I'm going to have to give you two definitions. The Bible seems to indicate these two definitions of the concept of religion. There's a broad sense we may define religion as any belief system, a belief system that deals with ultimate values, that things are right or wrong. And it shapes our pursuit of a particular kind of life in the world. Now, in this sense, both secularism and Christianity are religions. This is how they understand right and wrong. And therefore, it's a religion in that sense. I believe that this is the meaning in James 1:27, where he says, true, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. So this verse implies that not all religions are pure. Not all religions are undefiled, you see. So in that sense, there's good and bad religions. Now, I remember reading one of the English poets who was arguing that the word religion shouldn't be translated religion in this verse, because in his day, religion meant Christianity. And if people were talking about give yourself to religion, they meant Christianity. And so he accurately understood that this was not a very specific reference to Christianity. But it is the word. Now, In a stricter sense, however, and I find mostly in the Bible, when you are comparing world religions and religious thought, to one degree or another, religion, rather than Christianity, requires a form of self-salvation through merit. Do you understand merit? Merit is good works. Somehow you earn the gold star. So self-salvation through merit. And so, you know, the merit may take many forms. It may be religious rites, just going through a ritual. It may mean meaningful observances, or maybe just approved behavior. But all the religions have their list of what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. Some of them are a huge list. Buddhism is crazy. It's just, you know, I joke about, I put printed up some covers to put on my books that I took out to read, just so people wouldn't be nosy about what I'm reading. And one of them was 15,000 rules to simplify your life. You know, and it's one of those things where this is Buddhism. If you're talking about, you know, going Zen and all these things and have that simple life and so on, yeah, Buddhism. This is where multiple thousands of laws are telling you how to do every single thing in your life. And I don't see how any of them think they ever get close to strict obedience. But some of them are fairly simple. But some form of approved behavior. Now, this definition, this stricter definition, excludes Christianity. And this is the meaning of Galatians 1, 13 and 14. We see the word religion used twice here, once in each of these verses. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversation, my manner of life, in times past, in the Jews' religion." You see how he's contrasting that with what he believed now, his Christian faith now. Time past, I was active in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. My religious activities caused me to persecute Christianity and wasted it, and profited, I was up and coming here in the Jews' religion above many my equals, and the Greek here means equal in years. So the guys my same age, the up-and-coming guys, I was way above them, see, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, which defines the religion of the Jews. So here we find that he is using this term religion as a different thing from the faith that he was sharing at this time, as a Christian preacher writing to the Galatians. So I want to explore this distinction, because when people do not understand the difference, they ask, why are we being so particular? See, why must the solution to be of sin be Jesus or Christianity? They think they can take any religion, pick and choose, plug that into the problem, and as long as they're sincere, it should work. But it does not. And this is what I want you to grasp. We have not a religion which is essentially man-made. Somebody put it this way. The religions is a man building a bridge from one side, trying to reach God on the other. Christianity is God extending the bridge from him down to us. It's a very different situation. They both could look like bridges, I suppose, but the one will work and the other won't. So let me give you some distinctions. religion versus Christianity. Number one, the first distinction is only Jesus, of all religions, only Jesus claimed to be, and notice the terminology here, the way of salvation. This is the distinction. All other founders of religion claim to teach, or at least show, the way to salvation from sin. So Buddha was talking about enlightenment. Buddhism is essentially Hinduism. He was a Hindu, and this is, in their thinking, an advance over Hinduism, if you're familiar with any of these. The point here is they're teaching or showing, illustrating, giving an example, rather than being the way. Think about that. Teaching the way of salvation implies you are able, if all you need is to be taught, you are able by moral effort to understand and follow the way. I will teach you the way. All of the Asian religions are some kind of way, and it means a way of life. This is precisely what they're doing. They're teaching a way of life. And so if I teach it to you, you can learn it because you have the ability by your own moral effort to understand and follow that way. Now, Jesus being the way of salvation, can you see how different that is? It implies that you are not able by moral effort to gain the way. You have to take his way. Your way at this point isn't working and can't work. The old joke about the guy says, how do I get to such and such place? The guy says, well, you go down here, you turn left, you go way. No, that won't work. You go down this way, turn right, and then you go way down there. And it's, no, and he says, finally, he says, I'm sorry, you just can't get there from here. Well, this is the thing. Man in his own way can't get to God. He's boxed in to his sin condition. You have to find a new way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we don't go his way, we are not able to do it on our own. So let me explore with you then concerning this, the religious side of things. There are two sides of self-centeredness. We were talking about sin being self-centeredness, centered on self. This is the essence of sin. As the essence of obedience to God is love, which is the giving of yourself for God and others, self-centeredness is giving others to serve you, and that's the essence of sin. So let me give you an imaginative illustration here. You're all familiar, I'm sure, with Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, it may be you never read the book. It was a tiny little thing. You can read it in about a minute and a half. But you've all seen the movies. Well, the movies don't carry the essence of what Stevenson was trying to get across. In the story, the educated and very decent Dr. Jekyll, an academic chemist as well as a physician, he realizes that he is a strange, an incongruous compound of good and evil. And he felt held back by the evil side. So he believes that his bad nature is holding back his good nature from accomplishing his great aspirations. He wanted to do great things. So he devises a potion to separate his two inclinations, allowing his good nature to dominate the day and be free from the influence of evil. So he takes the potion, and just to kind of exercise to give in completely to his evil nature. Well, he takes the potion. He finds, to his horror, that his bad side was far more evil than he had imagined. He thought he had a little dark side, you know. And when it took over, he was horrified. Here's the quote. I knew myself at the first breath of this new life to be more wicked tenfold more wicked, sold a slave to my original evil, and the thought in that moment braced and delighted me like wine. Edward Hyde's every act and thought centered on self. So you and I know people who have spiraled down in life because all they were interested in is self and how they felt and what pleasure they had, whether it was drink or drugs or sex pleasure or whatever it was. They had given themselves to this just to focus on self. And this is that downward spiral. Jekyll found that Hyde was completely given to this. That was the essence of his evil nature. Now, Stevenson named Edward Hyde because he is the hidden part of Dr. Jekyll. You see, that was the influence. Hyde has no God but himself. He thinks only of his own desires, does not care at all who he hurts to gain them. He kills if somebody gets in his way. Stevenson claims that even the best people, what Stevenson is revealing in this story is that even the best people hide what is within. In his day, people were the gentlemen and the gentle ladies of the day, you know, and so on, but in secret and at night, maybe they were doing something bad. And they have a surprisingly enormous capacity for egotism, self-absorption, self-interest over all others. And this is why some rich and powerful are indifferent to the hardships of the poverty-stricken. Most cases of family disintegration find self-interest at the center. And this was what he was pointing out in his story. Now, in the story, once Jekyll sees how much evil he has released, he decides to restrict his self-centeredness within. In a sense, he gets religion. I want you to picture this. He says, I didn't know I was so bad. So I'm going to, you know, as it were, get religion by really working on my good works now. I'm really going to be the good guy. He determines to refuse taking the potion, and he devotes himself to charity and good works. He attempts to smother his Hyde nature with unselfish acts. And after several months, he reflects on how well he has done. He sits himself down, writing in his journal, and sits on a park bench. So he says, he's writing to a friend about this. He says, I resolved in my future conduct to redeem the past. This is the way the world, this is the way religion thinks about redemption. You do enough good to counteract the bad you did, or at least help people forget the bad you did. And I can say with honesty that my resolve was fruitful of some good. You know, he writes to his friend, how earnestly in the last month of the last year I labored to relieve suffering, that is, the suffering of others. You know how much was done for others. So he's thinking, I did pretty good. I did pretty well. But as I smiled, comparing myself with other men, comparing my active goodwill with the lazy cruelty of their neglect, at that very moment of that vainglorious thought, a qualm came over me, a horrid nausea, and the most dreadful shuddering. I looked down, and I was once more Edward Hyde. Wow. See, in the story, Jekyll at this point realizes he has no power over Hyde, and he kills himself. His life is to be forfeit. But here's my question. Why did Jekyll change without the potion? And this is the essence of this story. Jekyll knows he is a sinner. He desperately tries to cover this inner secret with the outer good deeds. Too late, he discovers that these good deeds did not shrink his self-centeredness. What was Hyde all about? Himself. And what was Jekyll all about, sitting on that park bench reviewing how well he had done? Back to himself. The good deeds led him to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, according to Romans 12:3. Jekyll became Hyde not in spite of his good works, but because of them. This is where religion fails. Because religion brings people back to self-centeredness, now being proud of themselves, you see. So Jekyll took the path of self-merit to save himself from sin. He did not turn to Jesus as Savior. Now, the liberal churches that do not preach salvation by grace usually talk a lot about Jesus, if they talk about Jesus at all. They talk about Jesus as teacher and example. And I want you to understand the strangeness of this. Strangely, they live morally so that God will have to bless them. But they avoid Jesus as Savior. I don't need that. I'm not that bad, they say. All I have to do is be taught the right way, be shown the right way. They trust their own goodness rather than the righteousness of Jesus. Paul talks about this in Romans 10:3. For they, he says, the Jewish leaders, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Think of this. They try to save themselves by following Jesus. Save themselves by following Jesus. See, that's not salvation, is it? Hyde's complete lack of religion built his identity on self-interest. Jekyll's religious reformation built his identity on his moral achievements. These are spiritually identical, and both are sin, because it's man living in his sin condition. All right, we're running out of time. I'll pick this up next week, but let me finish with the second distinction, and that is Pharisaism. There is this self-centeredness of moral eliteness. But there is also Pharisaism, religious self-centeredness. Pharisaism, the religion of the Pharisees, is intense legal righteousness. Now, if you know much about Islam, this is very much like the Islamic Sharia law. Every section, every part of your life is covered by some form of this law. These, the Pharisees, they center their lives and their identities on religious demands and morality. They build their sense of worth on their moral performance. How well have I done, you see? It is their resume to present before God and the world. The problem is that deep down they know they're not living up to their own standards. I've told you before about Benjamin Franklin, who rejected Christ as Savior, rejected Christianity, heard from George Whitefield, heard his preaching, but rejected that. I can do it on my own. So he actually came up with his own religion. He came up with things that he knew he was doing bad, and he just decided to conquer those one by one and so on. And he found after trying for about a year that he never could conquer them. He was defeated by his own religion. So they think they do not pray enough, they don't give enough, they don't keep their thoughts pure enough. What's happened here is that their religion is their idol. You see that? They divide the world into good and evil. Their enemies control them because they, their fight defines them. Now, see, this is why they despise and attack all who do not share their doctrinal beliefs and their religious practices. So Judaism despises Gentiles. Islam despises all the infidels, unbelievers that are not Islamic. They despise them. Christians don't despise non-Christians. We're trying to win them. We're trying to lead them to Christ, you see. This isn't down with unbelievers. This is bring them to church. let's win them to Christ, you see. Can we show them some love that will urge them to come? Not these. This is their religion has become their idol. So churches of Pharisaical religious people become self-righteous, look down the nose, you know, exclusive, angry, prickly, and insecure. These churches are extremely unattractive to the average person. People who grew up in or near them reject Christianity because that was their version of Christianity, you see. Yet, this religion is religious Pharisaism and not Christianity. All right. Well, the second distinction is that the gospel teaches that God accepts us because of what Jesus did, not what we did. See? And we'll deal with that then as God allows next time so we can give it due emphasis. Comments or questions then on this? Do you grasp the idea that religion leaves man in his own state and he can be a sinful, self-interested person or a very religious, self-interested person? But the self-interest is the same, and both in God's eyes are sin because it has left man unrepentant, unchanged, and not a believer in Christ. Donna?
How can they say they're Christian or a believer in religion and despise anyone who's not of their religion?
Yeah, this is when they're not following the Lord. Jesus said, "By this you will know that by this shall all men know you are my disciples, that you love one another." He didn't say that you look down your nose at everybody else, you'll despise everybody else. See, that's not Christianity. That's not Christ's idea at all. So people who claim to be Christian, perhaps think they are not when they show themselves. This is what in 1 John, he says, if you say you walk in the light, but you hate your brother, he says, you walk in darkness. You have deceived yourself. So these are people who claim, because maybe they think they did something or they joined something that made them a Christian. They just never got saved.
I would never understand.
No. It's not so much looking at the Bible at all. Yeah, yeah. They will read the approved things, but they also read what their religion says about it, and that's as far as they go. Someone else? All right, good. Well, let's stand together. We'll be dismissed with the word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can have our eyes open to this idea. All religions are not the same. Some are not pure. Some are defiled. And this is because they think that man is good enough as he is. And with a little effort, with a little teaching, with a little example, all he has to do is to walk a better path. You have seen us fallen into sin through Adam and our entire human race, and that we need to reconnect with you. We're part of a broken structure that cannot do anything that's truly right, because that is only in you. Help us then, Father, to recognize that we're not looking around at others and sharing with them the sense that their religion is as good as ours. We recognize that they are deceived and that they're trusting in self-effort, even if they're talking about Jesus, even if they're talking about the Bible. They're counting on self-salvation and not salvation by Christ. They're counting on works and not grace. We pray thy blessing then as we deal with others and share this with them, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.